Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Delita Williams, and we're in the trenches again, talking about health and wellness. It's good to be back on the air again. Hoping and praying that you have been blessed, that you have stayed safe, and that things have worked out well for you. Scripture I'm going to use tonight is Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And I just want to just a little bit of update on things that are going on. And as you know, we're in the flu, cold, pneumonia season, and there's a lot of things happening. I was listening to the news, and although we don't have as many people dying, but COVID is still on the rise, and I was listening that even in China, how it has begun to significantly increase. What I want to talk to you tonight is the difference between flu and COVID and colds and things like that. But I want to address something that is very prevalent right now, and that is triple-demic. And I know you have heard that term, triple-demic. And what that is that we are now having, we can have a combination of all three, flu, RSV, and COVID, or which is creating more of a havoc with our healthcare systems now. One of the things that that I want to tell you, RSV has been around for ages, okay? The thing of it is that it has been more prevalent in children. My specialty is pediatric, although I do adult care. And a lot of the time the kids had RSV, and we did watch them very carefully because that virus could change significantly to where a child is sitting up and playing, and the next few minutes, it doesn't take long, is that they would then become more respiratory deficient, requiring ventilator treatments, and in which case we would have to fly them out. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit because everybody's using that term, triple-demic, and it's just a matter where these viruses now are conversing and combining with one another. And so triple-demic is just a combination of the flu, the RSV, and the COVID-19. Typically with RSV, it is common and highly contagious respiratory virus that causes cold-like symptoms. And, you know, a lot of kids get exposed to this particular virus by their second birthday. Now, typically, kids and adults who get the virus usually recover within a week or two, and that's for the average healthy child. But being under the age of two, it increases their risk of hospitalization. That's what you're seeing right now. It can be more serious for extremely young, which is those under two or even less, and to the very old, as well as anybody that has a compromised immune system or any underlying health conditions. And that's the one thing that we're trying to get people to see, that if you have underlying health conditions, those things which are normally areas that you can recover from quickly may become more significant because you have a underlying problem. So RSV is just a different virus. It is the respiratory syncytial virus. Typically, when you talk about RSV, you're usually typically talking about mild cold symptoms in the adult. Okay, that virus usually produces mild cold symptoms. However, and with kids, when they get RSV, they typically we're going to hospitalize them anyway, because once they're diagnosed with that, they have to be monitored to make sure that the recovery is appropriate and that they receive the right treatment. Typically with children, when they come in and they are diagnosed with RSV, we put them on a monitoring system for their oxygen level. Treat them with just different respiratory therapies. So in children, it's always been a very serious condition. In adults and older adults, it has not been typically. It's just something that you get mild cold symptoms and in some cases, it can go on to develop a lung infection or pneumonia. And the thing of it is that with the combination of all these viruses that we have experienced, like your RSV, and then you've got your flu, and then you got the COVID, and these viruses are really combining themselves, fight or flight. They don't want to die. And so RSV infections can be dangerous for certain adults. And I was really surprised at this, because when I worked PEDS, we never thought about adults being seriously affected by RSV. But each year, the CDC estimates between 60 to 120,000 older adults in the United States are hospitalized with this virus, and anywhere from 6 to 10,000 die due to this RSV infection. And that was really surprising to me, because, you know, like I said, we never really had a high influx of adults with this virus. The adults which are at higher, you know, at the highest risk for severe RSV, of course, are those which are already immune compromised or have underlying condition. So we're talking about old adults, especially those of 65 years and older, and adults that have a chronic heart or lung disease, or those with weakened immune system. And so it is affecting them now more seriously. It can also, sometimes it can also lead to worsening of conditions that you already have, which is asthma, COPD, or congestive heart failure. And right now, you have a lot of adults with congestive heart failure. You have a lot of adults with COPD. I had a man come in today, didn't come in because of COPD or anything like that, but he came in for another reason. But I noticed you could see the difference of his breathing. It wasn't that he was in any kind of respiratory distress, but his breathing was significant to the fact that you knew that he had some respiratory issues. But he still smoked. And we've had people that have gone into the hospitals, they have COPD, and they come out and they smoke. And they want more and more and more to help them. And so right now we're trying to push people to understand that if you have underlying conditions, you have to be really extra careful because of the triple-demic that is being seen right now in the adult population. If a person, and we haven't even got to the three of them, but just letting you know how serious RSV can be in adults. They can get sick from this particular virus, and like I say, they can be hospitalized, they can even die. And now, even though young adults can get it, older adults are at greater risk. But it does not negate young adults also, because we have a lot of young adults with a lot of medical problems. And so, and this is usually the time of the year that we see RSV. So when you're looking, and it's kind of hard because all these viruses basically have a lot in common. So when you symptoms of RSV usually show within 4 to 6 days after being infected, and it's usually runny nose, decreased appetite, coughing, sneezing, fever, and wheezing. These symptoms usually appear in stages, so they may not all appear at once. Now, with children, usually the only symptom that you may see is irritability, decreased appetite, activity, and breathing difficulties, which makes it very important that they be seen. But for the adult population, the symptoms that I expressed was like runny nose, decreased appetite, coughing, sneezing, fever, and wheezing. Those are basically what we see, okay? And so so when we talk about triple-demic, we're talking about RSV, people with RSV, flu, and COVID at the same time. Now, there are some people that, and we've had people to test positive for COVID and flu, but not the weren't RSV. With RSV, it can be transmitted if a person is infected, coughs or sneezes. The virus is droplets from the coughing and sneezing. It can get in your eyes, your nose, or even your mouth. Or if you have direct contact with somebody, that has RSV can be transmitted. Even on surfaces like doorknobs and then touch your face, it can infect you. Now, doesn't tell me what the duration of life is on an inanimate object, but it can, you know, that's what it can be done, can be transmitted. And if you have RSV, you're usually contagious from 3 to 8 days, and you can become contagious a day or two before you even start showing any symptoms of it. And here it says RSV can survive for hours on hard surfaces like tables or crib rails. It typically will live on soft surfaces such as tissues and hand for a shorter amount of time. The way that we want to prevent the transmission of this is basically what you do for everything. Wash your hands, and if you are coughing or sneezing, cover your mouth, and then, of course, wash your hands afterwards if you use your mouth, your hands to cover your mouth. Make sure, you know, surfaces are clean and everything. I know everybody is now having an issue with masking, but if you're out and about, and I do agree with that, that if you're out and about, especially with people now out shopping with the Christmas season, it is so important to wear a mask. We are still mandated to wear masks on my job, but what I do is I have the mask on my ear, and if I go into a store and there's not very many people, or I'm not around a lot of people, then a lot of times I will just leave it down and just have it ready in case I do. But if I'm in a crowded area, yes, I do wear my mask, because these germs are transmitted through droplets. That means somebody has it and they go through the air and land on whoever. So when you hear triple-demic, that's what you're hearing about, is flu, COVID, and RSV. So the next thing I wanted to talk about is for some reason during this time, it's kind of hard to differentiate between cold, flu, and allergies, along with COVID. So it's a lot of the symptoms are the same. And, you know, a lot of times the more we learn about these viruses, the harder it is to determine which is what. And so right now we do know we're having a lot of problems with flu. We're also having a lot of people with just regular colds, and we're having a lot of people with allergies. I have an older patient that comes in, and his allergies are just acting up, but we think it went a little bit past that, because when he first came in, I could hear him before I even saw him. He was squeezing. We did a duodenib on him, which is basically giving him a respiratory treatment with two different medicines, and it didn't work, so we sent him to the ER. He came, got pretty good, came back again, still the wheezing, so we treat him again with steroids, antibiotics, gave him another treatment. And so when he came in today, he's a whole lot better. Now, the first time he was so bad is because this had been going on for a month. He hadn't done anything about it. By the time he got to us, I'm surprised that he was even passing air in his lungs, but he was. Looking at these different viruses, there's at least a dozen of the symptoms that's shared by either some of these viruses or all of them, making it nearly impossible to tell which is which. And so without a diagnostic tool, you're really not going to know which one is which. There's so much similarities from the coronavirus and the flu, but there are still some differences. One of the things that we look at is a key difference is the incubation period for viruses, which incubation period is the time it takes to develop symptoms after you've been exposed to it. The flu always strikes quickly and typically in 1 to 3 days, but your COVID virus can take anywhere from 2 to 14 days. And that's why it's so important to isolate, you know, right away after you have been exposed to someone with COVID. So when you're looking at the differences, let's look at some symptoms, because the symptoms, like I said, are usually the same. Okay, let's look at fever. A fever in a person with COVID-19 is common. In a cold and allergies, it's very rare that you will have a fever. And with the flu, yes, you will have a fever. You'll have a high fever that can range anywhere from 100 to 102, which can last 3 to 4 days. So with COVID-19 and with the flu, you're going to have a fever. Cold is going to be rare. Allergies, you don't have a fever. Okay? Headache, that's another common. They come in, and that's usually what brings them in. That's one of the really prevalent symptoms, and that's headache. With COVID-19, sometimes you have a headache. It's very rare to have a headache with a cold. But with the flu, it's very intense headache. And with allergies, sometimes you have a headache. So when headache is rare with a cold. People that are extremely exhausted. Typically with colds and allergies, you don't feel like that. But with flu, it's very common and it starts early. And with COVID-19, it progresses slowly. It may not, with flu, you go right away, oh, I'm just so fatigued. I don't feel like doing anything. It usually hits you pretty early. But with the COVID-19, it's going to progress more slowly. With the extreme exhaustion, the fatigue, all of them, you can be fatigued or weak with all of them. It's more slight with colds. It's common with flu, can be severe, and sometimes you'll see the fatigue and exhaustion in allergies and COVID. So if you look at everything, nothing's actually very significant with a cold. General aches and pain, very common. If you got general aches and pains, we're going to suspect flu immediately. Sometimes you'll have it with COVID. It's only slight with a cold, but with allergies you don't. But typically if somebody come in with a headache and they said, I'm just aching all over, we usually are going to test them for the flu. Stuffy nose, all of them have that. It's rare in COVID, but usually with colds and allergies you have it, and sometimes with the flu, sneezing, all of them. It's rare with COVID, but you can. It's just rare. But all the rest of them, it's very common. And with flu sometimes, but usually we see that. That's one of the complaints they come in with. Sore throat, allergies, no, rare with COVID. But it's very common with the cold and the flu. Cough, with all of them. It's just mild to moderate and a cold. With the flu, it can become severe, and you sometimes have the allergies, have a cough and allergies. When you're looking at shortness of breath, very rare in cold and flu. That's common in allergies, but in the more serious infection, COVID-19, yes. So usually what we tell people, if they're positive for COVID-19, we tell them to, you know, treat the symptoms, but if you get short of breath, to go to the ER, because then we know they're going to get in trouble. And runny nose is rare in COVID, but common with the cold and allergies, and sometimes you have runny nose with the flu. So you can look at this and tell that if it's a cold, your symptoms are going to be slight, they'll be mild, sometimes the moderate with the cough. A lot of the symptoms are just not that significant if it's just a cold. But the things that we see the most common is, and not all the time, fever, although some of them will have fever. But the ones that we see a lot of times they're coming in with is the headache, general aches and pains, just feeling weak, fatigue, stuffy nose, sneezing, and sore throat and cough. Those we see a lot. So we want to start looking at COVID, flu, just based on what we are able to determine with our assessment is that we'll determine. So usually in COVID patients, you usually have a fever of 100 or higher, whereas the flu, I've had people come in with the 99.9 flu, but anywhere from 100 and 102. And like I said, that fever is only going to last about 3 to 4 days. Of course, the headaches, that's a telltale sign. So there are times that with both the COVID and the flu, people will have diarrhea. That's not always, but every now and then people will have diarrhea. So what we're telling our people now is that whenever you have any of these symptoms, the best thing to do is not to wait to see a doctor, okay? If you have any of the symptoms, we suggest that you start treating the symptoms right away. And a lot of people will tell me, well, I don't know what to take because I've got this issue and I got that issue. And what we tell them to do is, what you need to do is treat the symptoms, and if you don't know what to take, your pharmacist is a good resource, especially if that is a pharmacy where you normally get your medicines. They can pull your medicines up, and they can look at it, and tell you what's good. Like I tell everybody, our medicine of choice is Mucinex. A lot of people say, well, it doesn't work, but they don't take it, but maybe at one dose or one day, and they don't drink a lot of water, because Mucinex is one of those meds you have to drink a lot of water, because it works. Those two, the medicine and the water works together. So, like I said, the older gentleman that I had, that we've had to see him three times and once into the ER, is because he had problems going on for a month. He never treated himself. He never called. He never came. He never went to urgent care. So since a lot of times it's hard to tell the difference between the flu and COVID-19 and RSV, which is our tripledemic, it's best that when you get symptoms, treat the symptoms. Go ahead and start treating the symptoms. That way, if it gets worse, you can tell them what you've tried. And that we know then where to go from there. The thing that we're trying to stay away from is prescribing a lot of antibiotics, because people are becoming resistant to antibiotics because they're overused. And so a lot of times they'll give you like a steroid, which helps. But if you start working on the symptoms early, Mucinex, which is good for, the congestion, Flonase is good, but you can only use that once a day. But we also, and I tell everybody, make sure you have some saline. I always carry saline. If I get stuffy, I use saline. Saline, you can use 100 to 1,000 times a day, just as much as you can tolerate it, because it is compatible with your body fluid. So it's not something that's going to affect you like Flonase or the other nasal sprays that are limited in their use. One of the guys in my church, he has allergies, and I have told him during these months, you take whether you're having symptoms or not, take the Mucinex every day, twice a day, no matter what, okay, because he has chronic allergies. Well, he didn't do that, and so he was sick for several weeks and tried to find Mucinex and couldn't find it. I took him some, but he finally found some, okay? So the thing with this time of the year, and especially with the weather, has been seesawing from temperature to temperature, it is so important that you have on hand Tylenol, or as well as NSAID, like Aleve or ibuprofen or Motrin, or if you can take that, nasal saline, Also have the drinks that will provide hydration for you, because sickness can dry you out. So, you don't want to do a lot, but you want to have Gatorade, a Powerade. You want to have a lot of water. If you don't feel like eating, maybe something like Jell-O, broth or something like that. This is the time to stock up on stuff like that, because, with what we're seeing now, and my godson is a manager of a respiratory therapy here at one of the local hospitals, and he said they're seeing a lot of the flu and COVID, and they're seeing a lot of the tripledemic. So, the earlier we can take care of ourselves, the better our outcome would be, especially if you have any underlying conditions. And the other thing that you will have to do if you are a smoker, you're just going to have to, you're going to have to make a choice, because even if we treat you for some issues, it won't work unless you quit smoking, at least until we can heal you, because what happens is you're smoking and we'll give you things to help you get over it, and you're steadily filling your lungs up with tar, and so you've got the tar, you've got the virus doing its things, and you got all that, a conglomerate of different things, and so it's going to be hard. It's just like pouring water on a duck's back. So this is the time that we really have to be diligent in taking care of ourselves. And I don't know about your area, but we have fluctuated from freezing, and then it gets hot, and then it gets rainy, and then it warms up a little bit, and now they're telling us, like, it rained today, and then we're going to be in the teens. And so you really have to be careful with taking care of yourself, and if you're having any problems, treating yourself immediately. Don't wait. I'll ask my patients, and they come in, I say, what have you taken? Well, I didn't get any, the VA didn't give me anything. Okay, the VA didn't give you anything. And sometimes I have to really get ugly and say, okay, wait on the VA and you'll be dead. Because if you're having these symptoms, there is stuff over the counter that you can use no matter what your condition is, no matter what kind of underlying problems you have. So you have to be proactive in your own care. Now, if these things aren't working, then if the VA doesn't give you, if you haven't given you anything because you haven't been there, then you need to seek urgent care. We do not let simple things like cough and congestion, you do not let those things go on untreated, even if you have to take something over the counter. Because the viruses now are not anything to play with. You just can't let them say, oh, maybe I'll feel better tomorrow, or maybe I'll get over it. And I've had people tell me, well, I thought I would get over it. Okay, it's a week later. When did you think you would get over it? So that's why it's so important to be more proactive in your care, because the viruses are combining themselves together and making people sick. And so you've got to do all you can. Good hygiene, hand hygiene, and keeping yourself nutritionally intact, plenty of water, plenty of rest. And these are things that's going to help carry us through these next few months, because they're projecting now we're in for a ride for the next few months. And that's all I have for tonight. If there's no question or comment, just want you to, really be careful. If you don't feel like wearing a mask, that's fine. But just realize if you're out in a crowd, you need your mask, because all of these viruses are airborne. And when you leave out of a store, don't touch your face. Unless you clean your hands with some hand sanitizer. You just have to do those things that are going to be productive in keeping you healthy. And so that's it for me tonight. No questions or comment. Just know that when you hear tripodemic, you're hearing a person that has COVID-19, flu, and RSV. And RSV is more common to children, but adults and older adults can have it, because if you have underlying conditions, then that virus can latch onto you. Typically, it's just a mild cold in adults, but because our adult population now has a lot of underlying conditions, it's making it worse than just being mild. It's actually putting them in the hospital. So we just need to be very, very careful in caring for our bodies. And like I said, that is it for me tonight. Unless there's questions or comments, you know, do everything you can to be safe and healthy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a good evening and have a Merry Christmas.
And same to you. And Happy
right.
New Year.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.